I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying, crazy to cry. I'm crazy for loving you.
And of course, it's Sandra Wilson. So don't call Bobby and ask what it is. So this is what happened to the time we played Sandra Wilson. We did it yesterday when you weren't here. We did Lay Lady Lay by Sandra Wilson.
Right.
And Bobby got a lot of calls. But that's what it is, and it's a great album. If anybody's put out a better CD this year, I missed it. And if you're out shopping and you just need to sort of blow on some gift and you just don't know what to get somebody and you sort of, you know, whatever, you get them this. It's called Glamoured by Sandra Wilson. And you're done for that person. You know, I'm going to ask the question that all the Connecticut is asking. How are you feeling today?
I think better.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, if you're overcome, if your disease begins to well up and overcome, you just, you know, absent yourself.
It's not a disease, per se. It's coughing that won't stop.
Coughing is a disease.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a cold.
Yeah. So, have you had any wheatgrass yet?
No, but I'm thinking about it.
You have to have some wheatgrass. I'm not kidding. I don't know if they have that out in Torrington. Where's the nearest place? Listeners, where's the nearest place that Stephen can get himself a nice, fresh shot glass of wheatgrass? Because that's what he needs to get things going. And you know what? On my favorite show last night, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, they drank wheatgrass. So consider me to be your queer eye or your straight guy. And I'm telling you, drink some wheatgrass.
Okay.
And then consider the soup of life as well. Because, as you know, it's apart from my basic inner cosmic frailty, I'm healthy as a horse. Healthy as a freaking horse. If I were any healthier, Willie Shoemaker would be riding me into the parking lot. He's dead, isn't he?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
just died.
That might not be a good sign of health then, to have a dead guy on my back. But but you know what I'm saying. If I were any healthier...
Healthy as a horse. Secretariat.
If I were any healthier, Lafitte Pinkay would ride me to work every day.
That's very good.
So, and I drink wheatgrass sometimes, not often enough. I'm going to, just looking at you, I want to get some wheatgrass because I don't want to wind up like you. And then, soup of life, a great thing to have. Go to a Vietnamese place and say, you need the soup of life. The best place to get it is at Park Road, and a corner of Park Road and Whiting Lane in West Hartford, but there's lots of places that have it. It's known as pho.
Yeah, I know.
Careful how you say it. Pho, P-H-O, but it's P-H-O spelled pho. So you get some, we're about to get you your wheatgrass. Here's a second from Mike. And then what else are you going to do? And then maybe a little hot room yoga, huh?
No.
I did some hot room yoga today, and do I feel good?
I'm sure you do.
Do I have a big smile on my face? Do I have a smile on my punum, huh?
Yep.
All right.
You do, but I'm not doing that.
I want you to feel the way I do.
Well, I would like to, but I think this thing has to kind of, you know, run its course.
My karma is light. My chakra's unblocked. My mojo be working. You need some wheatgrass, and Mike from Torrington is going to help you get some.
All right, where's the damn wheatgrass? Let's hit this one.
You know, that's the wrong attitude to go into wheatgrass, because where's the damn wheatgrass?
Yeah.
That's not how we talk about our... You know what? The wheatgrass is our friend, and it grows up out of the earth.
Okay.
To help us.
Mike?
Hey, you're going to lose me real quick. I'm on the cell phone. The nearest place you can get it in the Torrington area is, unfortunately, Avon at Garden of Light on West Main Street. That's it.
That's the closest for him?
Yeah, I travel every day to get it, or great.
No, wait a minute. There's some kind of a store on East Main Street, I think it is.
Yeah, but they don't have it.
They don't have it there?
No.
They're full of it there. Oh, because you travel every day from Torrington to Avon to get the wheatgrass?
Well, I live in New Hartford, so I go to Avon. It's about 20 minutes.
20 minutes to get the wheatgrass. And explain to Bruce how beneficial wheatgrass is for you.
Supposed to cleanse your system.
Yeah.
And I think it does. I've been doing it for about 4 months now.
Yeah, and do you...
And there's definitely a benefit. It's nasty, though.
Yeah, do you drink it every day?
Yep.
Yeah. And it perks up what needs perking up, right?
Yeah, it especially helps your workouts.
It gets the hitch out of your get along.
Now, wait a minute. Did I hear the word nasty in there somewhere?
It is nasty tasting.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
It's like mowed grass.
It is. It's like drinking
mowed grass. Great.
I told you that. Like drinking somebody's lawn.
Great. I'm going to run right out and get some of that.
Wheatgrass. They have different tastes, but it's pretty nasty.
It is. But it's worth it.
It's like licking a combine.
Yeah, but it's, you know, if it perks up your little perkies, your inner perkies, it's worth it, right?
You bet.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
We're losing Mike.
We're losing it.
Cell phone's gone. Cell phone needs some wheatgrass.
I don't think we've reached you about the wheatgrass. But you should drink some.
I would try that if I didn't have to go too far out of my way to do it.
Well.
And Avon sounds like a tremendously long way to go to get something that tastes like crap.
Yeah. Well, what is it? There must be something in Litchfield. How about in Litchfield? How about in freaking Litchfield?
Who wants to go to Litchfield?
Well, that's true, because they hate the Black Santa.
Yeah.
But there are, like, little health food stores in Litchfield, and I bet you they have wheatgrass. And that's very close to where you are. You need some wheatgrass. It'll perk you up so
it's
much.
It's closer to Winstead.
All right.
But I doubt there are probably a lot of...
Are you kidding me?
I doubt there are a lot of health food stores.
Well, why don't you go to Bob Radacchio's diner on Winstead? He probably has something he calls wheatgrass anyway. God only knows what it would be. Probably actually would be grass of some kind.
I might try that.
Yeah. Get a little wheatgrass, and then soup of life, a little hot room yoga. You're going to feel great. You're going to feel terrific. Listen, we have to talk about, I'm so sick about this. Our friend David Boomer is leaving.
Yeah, I knew you were going to be crushed.
I actually do like David.
Did something happen here while I was missing?
What?
The atmosphere seems to be somewhat different in the studio than what it was when I left.
We're kind of into a bad Santa phase.
Good God.
Oh, you know, I have to mention this thing about consumer fraud, all right? Cheryl Rice, from a very, very lovely young salesperson from 100 Points News.
This has got
trouble. This is weird. She comes up to me in the hall today, and she has ordered one of my old books. It's called Lose Weight Through Great Sex with Celebrities. Oh, that's right. I hold it here. She's ordered the names. But here's what's happened. Okay, here is the cover. You open it up inside, and it's double your money in antiques in 60 days. So, no, it's the cover of my book.
That's got to be worth a big bucks right there.
And it's a brand new, perfect looking, mint condition cover of my book, and it is affixed to and wrapped around Double Your Money in Antiques in 60 Days by George Grott, author of The Furniture Doctor.
Isn't he here on the weekend?
So what is up with this? I'm just going to see. Well, you know, this book was published by Doubleday, which published Lose Weight Through Great Sex with Celebrities, in 1986, roughly around the same time. So it may have been in like a Doubleday production error or something like this. But either that or there's consumer fraud out there. The people are selling vintage, antique, out-of-print copies of my fantastically unsuccessful book, Lose Weight Through Great Sex with Celebrities.
Using the allure.
Yeah, losing the allure.
The allure, probably based upon the new book. The great success you've had with the new book.
This is a pretty rare book. This is a hard book to get.
Taking that book and putting it on the front of this hokey antique thing, trying to sell the antique book.
So all I'm
which
saying,
probably nobody cares about.
Always inspect the goods. Always make sure. I mean, I guess on Amazon.com you can't do anything about this. But I'm having Dick Bloomer's all like a full scale.
I would hope that you would.
I'm very upset about this. Anyway, so David Boomer is leaving. We'll have to talk a little bit more about the goofy cottage in Bantam as we go along. And, of course, I guess it's fair to say Larry Cohen is the new David Boomer. But not really. According to the article, not really.
I'm glad I came back to work.
How screwed are you if Larry Cohen... If Larry Cohen is your Carl Rove, if Larry Cohen is the one who's going to get your fat out of the fire, how completely screwed are you? You might as well put the handcuffs on yourself. Name?
Jamie Lewis?
Hey. She's got a nerve to show her face around here. But joining us now is Susan Bythewitt, Secretary of State, and a notorious bigot against the Scottish people.
Oh, no.
No, well, Colin, I got to tell you, Colin, I have finally found something that you and my husband agree on.
Me and Pookie?
My husband, David Hamilton Donaldson, is Scottish on both sides. So he was totally outraged that the tartan was not in the 2003 Blue Book.
Let's back up and explain this for people. The Blue Book is the state manual. It's the state manual and register. All the official important data of the state is contained in this big, fat book that you put out every year.
That's right. And we have a special section for the state bird, the state flower, the state insect, the state mineral. And many people, I'm sure, are unaware that we had a state tartan.
Yeah. Well, what is the state tartan?
Had a state tartan.
We have a state tartan, whether you acknowledge it or not.
We have, and believe it or not, Colin, when I was the chair of the elections committee in 1995, and I believe at that point Denise Merrill was the vice chair, we passed the legislation to establish a state tartan, and it has different colors in it. Blue stripes to represent Long Island Sound, green stripes for the forests in Connecticut, gray for the granite, yellow for autumn leaves, and white for snow.
Yes, I have it right here right now. Okay, it's 1994. It was designed at Three Rivers by Professors Brent A. Maynard, Kathleen Swope, and Noel Alexis.
That's right, and as I recall, Representative Mike Caron.
That's right, from the 45th District.
All right, put in this lovely piece of legislation.
Apparently, at this time, approximately half the states have tartans. Some cities and towns and counties have their own distinct tartans. All 10 Canadian provinces, Yukon and the Northwest Territories, have provincial or territorial tartans. All right, neckties, scholars, and ladies' head scratches are available with this tartan on it. But we look at the blue book, and what did you just do? You just said, screw them, right? That's basically what you said.
Now, the problem,
need a tartan.
The problem was we were running out of pages, and it was an odd number. If we had the state tartan, there would have been three blank spots, because legislation for the state fish and the state cantata hadn't been passed yet. So next year, we'll fit it in, and you'll see the state cantata and the state fish, which is the American shad, yeah, along with the tartan.
We know what the freaking state fish is. We wore ourselves out on that thing.
I have the 1999 blue book here, and I don't see any tartan in here.
Well, I guess sometimes you feel like a tartan and sometimes you don't, but it usually is in there. And you know, there were other moves you could make. You know, you could have said, you know what, don't print my picture this year. Put the tartan in instead. Who cares?
There you go.
You could have done that, right?
Well.
You could have.
I could have, but, you know, George Bush and John Rowland would have been quite lonely because their pictures are in there, too.
Okay, you know what? Leave Governor Rowland's picture out. He's probably not going to be governor for the whole time anyway, you know?
Put it this way.
You can add a blank page. You can say, draw the picture of the person you think will be governor by the time this book is
out. You're going to put the state cabinet.
Yeah. Right. Maybe Engelhardt could do something right on that.
Or the state cabinet.
You know, imagine, Colin, what the blue book would look like if it were published by the governor.
Imagine what the blue book would look like if it were published by me. What do you think the blue book would look like if it was published by the governor?
Well, I was just suggesting that many of the things that we put in might not be in there right now.
Well, that's possible.
You have the official state contractor?
Yeah.
you can put that in.
You probably get it published for about a third of the cost or something, you know. Who knows where the rest of them go? Well, okay, so you're saying that this wasn't a slap at the Scottish people?
No,
except perhaps.
No, absolutely not. And I have to tell you that my husband was terribly disappointed. So,
well, I would think, you know, I mean, think of everything the poor donkey has to put up with. And, you know, I mean, it can't be. His life has got to be, you know, I mean, they're like.
He has a great life.
They're like greyhounds out of the track that have been alive.
I want to tell you this.
and then you actually. This is ethnicity publicly.
No, I'll tell you, when we got married, we actually had a bagpiper playing at our wedding reception.
Right.
We had, you know, all ethnic groups represented. I got married at a Greek Orthodox church,
mm-hmm,
and then we had the reception at St. Clement's in Portland with, mm-hmm, a bagpiper who was wandering around playing.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, here we go again. I got married in 1987.
Yeah.
And a child bride I was.
And so that has there been bagpipes incorporated into your marriage since then?
No, but perhaps if we do a renewal of the vows, they'll have to be prominent.
I think.
Along with an appropriate tartan created.
If I were you, I'd, you know, maybe set up a little bagpipe evening a little sooner than that even. you and Sneaky.
They're awfully loud inside of the building, but they're good outside.
I understand. I think a romantic bagpiping evening, perhaps even this weekend, we're snuggling up with some recorded bagpipe music. Read a little Robert Burns to one another, if you know what I mean? All right. Of course, I don't mean to pry. It's your life, obviously.
But it doesn't stop you, Colin.
No, I care for both of you deeply, and I just want you to both be happy.
Thank you, Colin.
If I can't be with you, then I want you and Sleeky to be happy. All right, I have to go.
Bye.
Well, that went well.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well. I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of this.
No. Were you looking for some sort of restitution for on behalf of the Scottish people?
No, I really don't care about the Scottish people. They're bleak.
I know that.
They're bleak, they're cheap, and they're gloomy. And as far as I'm concerned, they deserve whatever happens to them.
Yeah.
But,
So what the deal was they needed three more things to put in the book to even it out, and that would have been okay. We could have put the state contractor in. We got the cabin. The cabin could have gone in.
I mean, basically, that whole thing, that whole explanation, it's such crap. You know, I mean, it's nothing like one of Roland's explanations, to tell you the truth.
Oh, we have three more things. We could put in...
Yeah. Really, it sounds like one of his explanations. You know what? Have you noticed, by the way, what a piece of crap his cabin is turning into the more that he talks about it?
Well, it's 800 square feet. Oh, that's barely a skin. There's somebody with a tall starboard over to hold up if you want to know the truth. Not fancy at all. All right? This place is a piece of junk. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Trapped up here with my wacko family. I can't stand them. You know. Storage shed for my, you know, like Home Depot.
Yeah, I mean, and then the cabinets keep from Home Depot? Well... apparently not. I mean, there's this guy who makes custom-made cabinets who got...
Well, they keep coming from Home Depot, some of them. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can get all price ranges.
But,
so.
But the contractor's wife, or I just read where somebody was quoted as saying that, another thing is that he claims that he never met any of the subcontractors, but one of the subcontractor's wives said that no, that he had a beer with his subcontractor in the kitchen. They admired the work that was done. Yeah, I suppose he'll come back and say, well,
I didn't say I didn't have a beer with anybody. I just said I never met
them. But he also says they're from Home Depot, but this guy claims that he made custom-made cabinets for this 800-square-foot shack.
Probably got paid the Home Depot price for custom-made cabinets that he made that were perhaps more valuable than you would have paid at Home Depot.
And then another thing he apparently said was that the hot tub... was originally
a hot tub.
Yeah, there was a hot tub. And the hot tub's been around for the whole time, but
yeah, but I mean, you don't get that in just your average run-of-the-mill kind of lakefront, you know, little.
He claims that the hot tub was originally at the governor's mansion, and they moved it out there. And did we know that? Did we know at the time that there was a governor's mansion hot tub? You know, I don't think Weicker had one of those.
You should call Weicker and find out.
I don't think Ella put that in. So he apparently, when he moved in the governor's mansion, put in a hot tub, like it's a freaking Playboy mansion or something. He's supposed to be the governor. Well, anyway.
So he moves
the hot tub out there.
Yeah.
Get a new one. I hope they disinfected it, for God's sake.
Who knows?
Yeah. But anyway, that's not what's important. What's important, obviously, is... I mean, and on a serious note, I do think that it is... incumbent on Governor Roland now, and it's incumbent on the Democrats, I think, to put some pressure on him to do this. Say, you have to, we shouldn't need a freaking federal warrant every time something like this comes up, because we've been down this road with you too many times before, and it always turns out that it's like a lot more complicated, and, you know, it's like dealing with Lucille Ball or something. You got, like, one explanation, and then, oh, well, Ricky, it turns out, actually, you know, I took on a few more vacations than that. And, so... You know, I just think, you know, give us the checks and we'll look it over, you know, produce them, get it all on the table. Let's see what you paid for the renovations and whether or not it looks like you got some kind of scammy deal or not. But this idea that you can climb on your high horse and say, well, this is my business and it's private and these are just allegations and screw you, you can't. I mean, I think we're really kind of past that point where he has to kind of stand it, where he can say something like that. He had that kind of standing before he got caught with all this other stuff, and fined, and spanked, and called naughty. You know, now he's naughty. And you know, he's Mr. Naughty Governor. And so now when we have questions, you just give us what we want. Tell us what we want to know. And then, you know.
Don't you think you're being a little harsh?
Don't give us any lip anymore. We don't get to listen to any lip from you anymore.
Think about the kid.
You know, I am thinking about that.
Come on.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from just going right out there and, you know, doing a 15-second, you know, wait and then... you know, breaking down a door and seeing what's in there.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
The problem with Blumenthal is you can't tell when he's running because he always acts like he's running in the sense that there isn't a lousy, stinking cheese ball, spaghetti, rubber chicken thing from here to Seymour that he won't go to. He goes to all of them. And he goes to everything. And so either he's made his decision to run for governor and he's happy with it. And that means he's looked at the numbers and he's realized that there's no Republican who can run against him with any plausibility.
Unless, of course, Roland decides to run again.
Yeah, and they don't let you run where you can only talk on the telephone through the plexiglass. It's hard to do that anyway. Like, you know, for the debate.
If Blumenthal has to sit on one side of the plexiglass with a telephone and then Roland has to be on the other side, it's I don't know, it's compromising. I think one of the candidates comes out looking not as well.
Come celebrate Big Wise. How?
You know what concerns me? I think I'm becoming paranoid.
Why?
Let me just walk you through this, and then you tell me whether I'm getting paranoid.
Okay,
so earlier today, you were out, and Roy Ocio Grosso, former campaign manager for Bill Curry and currently a principal and firm of Global Strategy.
Right.
He happened to be on the phone to Bobby about a future guest we might be having.
Right.
Okay? And so I was aware that Bobby was talking to Roy on the phone. And what I felt was at this moment that what Roy was saying was, because they'd never spoken before on the phone, I don't envy you working for Maniac Space there, or something like that. That Roy was saying something like, that, you know, we've never spoken
Why
before.
Why do you feel he was saying that?
Because then I could sort of just, Bobby had this little reaction and he was kind of going,
but when was this going on?
Just a few minutes ago.
Oh, before
you
minutes ago.
You know.
Right.
And he had this little reaction kind of like, yeah, well, thanks, yeah. Something like that. It was that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what this guy said on Roy's end? And I was thinking, you know, it must be a real treat working for, you know, drug face.
Right.
Do you think I'm paranoid thinking that?
No,
or do you think it's a reasonable surmise?
It's a reasonable surmise.
Reasonable surmise that Roy might have been saying something like that about. And then that made me think that probably is what Bobby thinks, you know, that I'm
nuts
and difficult to work for and unpleasant to have around.
Yep.
Which I am. I mean, I acknowledge that too. But I just, you know, the idea that the people were actually talking about that openly.
Right.
You know.
It's one thing when you recognize it yourself, but when somebody else is saying it, that's the kind of thing.
Or dull resentment of me, you know, dull, silent resentment of me. I'm somewhat comfortable with. But, you know,
so
the idea that...
You were concerned that Roy...
That Roy is stirring people up, too, you know.
Bobby Sherwood.
Yeah. Roy, who's a very high-strung person, Roy wouldn't be any more fun to work for in this situation than I am. Roy is like, you know... Roy's like some kind of test site for Xanax or something. I mean, Roy...
Don't you think Roy is...